Welcome to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The design and location of homes, schools, workplaces, stores, streets, and open spaces, that's our built environment. And our built environment has a tremendous impact on physical, mental, and social health. This is where we spend nearly all of our time, yet it's also the source of many chronic diseases and many of the challenges that we're facing. We're going to be talking about San Antonio's environmental health, particularly as it relates to built in the environment, our built environment. And in recent years, the city has made great advances in this area, but we find numerous areas that still need improvement. What would you like to see built, changed, or developed in San Antonio to turn your built environment into something that will encourage you and your family to get outside and get active? We need you to call in with your ideas and suggestions. The phone number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org or comment directly on our show page on our website at tpr.org. And we're joined this half hour by Dr. Thomas Schlenker. He's the head of Metro Health, and David Clear. He is the built environment coordinator for Metro Health. Welcome to This Source, both of y'all.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So is that a pretty accurate description of what a built environment is, David? The homes, the houses, the streets, the sidewalks, all those things?
Everything in the environment, outdoor environment and indoor environment as well plays a part of public health outcomes.
And so I guess we had one idea of what, you live in a part of the city and maybe there's no sidewalks and that's going to impact people, whether or not they get out and walk or bike lanes and those types of things, right?
Absolutely. Several years ago, we did a photo voice project and we talked to residents and it's exactly what they indicated that, they would like to get outside and not feel like they were a prisoner in their own homes, but, they just didn't have sidewalk connectivity or other issues like stray dogs were a problem in a lot of neighborhoods. And so it's kind of a case-by-case basis depending on what neighborhood or street we're talking about, what the issue may be, but sidewalks are a part of it.
So Dr. Thomas Schlenker over at Metro Health, talk about the connection. I mean, sell it to me, convince me that there is a connection between the built environment, the city that we have constructed over the many years here, and what this means for our actual health.
Well, it is a bit of a new concept that we do have to explain, but it's clearly obvious that the environment in which we live, the physical surroundings, does dramatically affect the health of the people. And our responsibility is all the people in Bexar County, and we know that there are just so many instances where people are either hurt or helped by where they live. An example I can think of is the beautiful job that's been done on the San Antonio River, both the Museum Reach and the Mission Reach. They're just wonderful, gorgeous, luxurious public spaces that are totally free, that draw people to them. And that increases physical health, mental health, and even, what we call social health, getting to know your neighbors, your family, interacting. So it has a huge impact on the entire community.
Well, you look at trends in being overweight and obesity, and there's been some, research that looks at the focus on the built environment and how not having a poor built environment and not having these amenities can lead to greater obesity and then all of the complications that come with that, including diabetes. But so the focus has been really in the urban core, but we're looking also like in the suburbs where there tends to be lack of sidewalk connectivity and those types of things and lack of walkability because there's not a lot of walkable spaces. But in the urban core, really, that's where you see the highest percentage of the obesity. So there seems to be a disconnect there. Mr. Clear?
Well, you do see a lot of people that we have that, live in suburban developments in San Antonio. And, traditionally we've seen more health disparities within our inner ring suburbs. It's due to a lot of factors, And so while there You know, but there's different ways to think about that. You know, in one case, you know, you look at the parks measures. Inner city areas in San Antonio do tend to have fewer areas and acreage of parkland compared to outer areas. You know, once we started developing, a lot of those areas are older before we even had park standards, and more recent development on the outside edges is in compliance with park standards and requirements that have been added over the years. And so to some degree, but then, you know, these residents on the outer fringes then probably have to drive to that park in a lot of cases if they don't have linear creek access. So it really depends on what neighborhood you're talking about in terms of, you know, what solution can happen. And, you know, one of the other things we want to support is where can residents be involved in coming up with a solution so that it's not always the planner or the transportation engineer. It can be the residents being involved in that as well.
Sure. So we had one email, a person wrote in and says that we wish that we had something like they have in Dubai, where I guess they have a huge indoor area, outdoor, that's actually air-conditioned, it seems. That might be the biggest problem that we have here, particularly now that we're getting our you know, summer heat is coming on. It's very difficult for people to get out and exercise and have to wait until the evening comes, and that seems to be the problem. And if an area is not lit well, then you're going to run into that problem where people have a problem taking advantage of that.
It's interesting. You know, one of the things that we do have coming up at the conference and our keynote speaker and in a specific session is devoted to talking about history of built form in San Antonio and other cities, you know, because you know, people 100 years ago existed in San Antonio as hot as it is and walked around and really paid a lot of attention to the way the communities were built and to minimize the impact of the heat. And so It's really challenging when that's that design of the environment does not really take that into account or doesn't prioritize the pedestrian, and so that's where we really want to get involved. And maybe we're not the lead agency, but maybe it's the Parks Department and it's a tree planting initiative or something. But you know, all of this, the microclimate is really important to public health, and we have a lot of evidence to back that up.
Okay, we're going to continue the conversation talking about San Antonio's built environment, what it's doing to our health, our social health, and physical, mental health, having more green spaces, more opportunities to get out and walk around and socialize, how that could benefit us all. Maybe what we need is just a few more catalyst programs like Ciclovia, things that have been successful thus far. Give us a call. What do you think? What would you like to see happen in San Antonio to encourage folks to get outside and enjoy the beautiful scenery that we have? The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You could also email us your questions and comments to the source at tpr.org. Quick break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Coming up here on May the 7th, there's going to be a public health and built environment conference being held at the downtown UTSA campus. And this is we're talking about how San Antonio can improve its built environment, encourage people to get outside and enjoy the fresh air, get some sunshine, meet your neighbors. So why is this important, Dr. Schlenker?
Well, it's important because we're actually not in good shape at the present. We've just been notified we're the second most obese city in the United States.
Is that an official designation?
Well, it's from the latest Gallup poll. We barely snuck under Memphis, Tennessee. And, of course, you know,
that's difficult to do.
It's difficult to do. Another poll could rate us differently, but we're still up near the top. And that has huge
because they have these magazine polls and things all the time. I don't know what to believe. But this one has merit. When they say that we sit around the house, we really do sit around the house, according to this Gallup poll.
Yeah, we do. And you can see it just walking down the street. People really suffer from way too much weight here. And the most serious consequences is diabetes, and you can see amputees everywhere you go in San Antonio. And so it's just the cost social cost is enormous, and it affects our quality of life and our economic development and everything else. So we're in a deep hole, and we need to get out of it. We are making progress. There's some good news. We're headed in the right direction, but we do have a long way to go.
So, listeners, if you want to call in with your questions and comments, complaints about why you don't get out and exercise, give us a call. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You know, Woodlawn Lake is by my house, and you see a lot of activity at Woodlawn Lake. But right now, they're doing a lot of construction there, and they tore up part of it. And now if you try to run or walk around Woodlawn Lake, you're kind of diverted to this other area. It's not lit at all. And you're kind of driven off path, and it's very rocky, and it seems like they're trying to discourage you from actually using the walking path there. So, you know, I guess it's a case of temporary disruption, but that's how you break habits, David.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you probably saw it pretty stark because you went from a kind of a night to day shift, and you know, we want all of the environment to reflect, you know, kind of that Woodlawn Lake area. Obviously, we've got, as Dr. Schenker mentioned, a long way to go. And, you know, it makes sense to certainly start at Woodlawn Lake because it's going to be an attractor. And
there's a lot of families out there already. You see a lot of use out there normally.
Exactly. But then, you know, hopefully we can connect that to other neighborhoods. I just had a conversation with a colleague about connections to the Linear Creeks. I spent some time working in Raleigh, North Carolina, and living there. It was very similar. In a lot of communities, we are putting in linear creekways, but you know, connecting those to the neighborhoods around them, the cul-de-sac communities and things. That's an area where I think you know, the city in general can make a lot of inroads in connectivity.
And we don't have to wait for the city to do these things. People have been known to take reclaim traffic islands that they have in their neighborhoods, or just be aggressive, turn little abandoned lots into community parks. I mean, can you do that? Will you get in trouble with the city if you do something like that, David?
That has occurred in I'm familiar with the little patch garden downtown that I think some of the people from Geekdom have taken over as a community garden. And I think to some degree that's a kind of a national movement that you see in cities. We do have actually a session talking about that and with the city of Austin, where they are allowing some programs. And actually, you mentioned Memphis. They are actually in a program that our keynote speaker is going to talk about, where residents are getting involved. So I think it's starting to trend.
All right, let's go to the phones. The phone line is 614-8980, 614-8980. Julianne has called in. Julianne, welcome to The Source. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you. Yes, I have a family, and we're five of us. And every time we'd like to go for a bike ride, we have to load up all the five bicycles, go to a certain destination, unload, and actually bike ride. And my question or comment is, if bike lanes are actually more well understood by drivers, then maybe they would, you know, actually give right away to bicycles. Presently, it's just like every now and then there's a painted sign, and then drivers aren't sure where it ends, and then they say, "Oh, I guess there are no drivers." So then they don't. I don't want to take my family out in those conditions.
Right. People don't respect the bike lanes. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, because it's not in the places where it's well painted, and you definitely see that there's a line there, and the motorists do know, hey, there is a bike lane. But now and then you're just driving, and okay, like on San Pedro, and you never can see if it starts or ends. Thank you.
Got it. Thanks for your call. Appreciate that. Bye. So bike lanes, how effective are bike lanes? Does it really encourage people to get out on the streets, David Clear?
It can absolutely be effective. I mean, look at a lot of communities and, you know, where they put they can do counts, you know, where they've documented that, you know, the bike counts are really up in a lot of places. And we've seen that, too, in San Antonio. I think the caller makes a really good point. And it really depends also on the type of street. You know, you could take a busy street and a bike lane where the car traffic may be going faster. There may be a lot of curb cuts and cars coming in and out. You know, potentially that bicyclists, especially if they have little kids behind them, it's challenging. and other streets may not be the same thing. So as a planner, you know, and one of the things you can do, they've kind of upgraded bike lanes, is have a little bit of extra buffer, and that's just inexpensive striping that can get put down, maybe a 1 or 2 foot buffer. A lot of communities do, or plastic pieces that, you know, are orange and, you know, vehicles can see, where you feel a lot safer.
Okay, back to the phones. Alex has called in. Alex, thanks for calling into The Source. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm a medical student here in San Antonio. I'm also getting a degree at the School of Public Health. And so we talk a lot about some of the public health programs here in San Antonio. And we talk a lot with our patients about how important exercise can be. Of course, we also focus on diet. And something I wanted to ask was, what are some of the programs that the city of San Antonio has in place for people who want to lose weight, not just through exercise, programs like Ciclovia are great, but also through diet. Do you know of any? And if so, can we share it on the air?
All right, Alex, thanks for that great call. So, Dr. Schlaker, can you help us out there?
Yeah, great question. We completely recognize the importance of diet, and we are doing a number of things. One of them is called our Corner Store Program, where small little groceries that are in many neighborhoods oftentimes don't carry much other than soda and chips and beef jerky. And we have established with a number of these small corner stores a program where we supply them with a cooler, and they then offer fresh fruits and vegetables. And that seems to be taking off and very popular. But really, the lack of access to fresh fruit and vegetables is a big problem for many people because of where they live.
These are the food deserts.
The food deserts.
So you live in a place where you're within walking distance, you can't get a healthy meal.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, unhealthy meals are just pervasive. I mean, everywhere you look, they're there.
There's a fried chicken place.
Absolutely. And every other kind of place you can think of at a moment's notice, and it's a terrible mountain we have to climb.
But there's also like promotoras who are out in the community teaching women to upgrade their traditional Mexican menus with healthier alternatives. Without disrupting the menu, it's just a little change.
Absolutely. And it's unfortunate that many people seem to have lost the skills of how to cook a meal at home for your family. More and more we eat outside the home. We want to encourage people to eat in the home. And there are special programs, and they're especially effective when they involve promotores, people from the neighborhood who understand this culture and speak the language, helping people to kind of regain their skills in that area.
All right, let's get Paul on the air. Paul, welcome for calling in. Thanks for calling to The Source. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Two things. The caller before me made a good point, and one of the things I wanted to just kind of say is, so I live in I work in an area that is on the other side of town of San Antonio, which doesn't provide much of selection in terms of, like, HEB providing on one side of town where I live in. They'll provide, you can go to HEB or any of the local area stores and get healthy things to not only snack on but eat on for lunch if I want to take my lunch to work or whatnot, or eat out, versus on the side of town that I work on, it's very biased in terms of where you can go to have healthy style of living. And I was wondering if something like that is in the works, maybe with local stores. I know one HEB from one side of town to the other side may not offer the same things as the HEB on the, let's just say, north side of town versus the HEB in the south side.
All right, Paul. We're running short on time, so let's try and get a reaction to that question. But thanks for calling in. So, Dr. Schlaker, you know, from neighborhood to neighborhood, great variety in the types of offerings you find at the local grocery store, and it does seem to not be healthy choices at times.
That's absolutely true, and we would love to see the larger grocery chains you know, do a better job of providing and marketing healthier foods. And we also encourage things, and things like community gardens are multiplying. Farmers markets are multiplying, and all of that is an encouraging sign, too, people growing their own.
Sure. Let's get Claire on really quickly. Claire, we're short on time, but go ahead. You're on the air.
I don't know if your guest lives in San Antonio, but when I got off work at 4:30 in the afternoon and it was 100 degrees in the summer, I'm not going to walk and exercise. There's very little places you can walk in shade. Now I'm retired. I walk 2 miles a day before 8:30 in the morning. It's freaking unhealthy to go out and walk when it's hot in the summer in San Antonio.
All right,
how
Claire.
How about that?
All right, mad dogs and Englishmen only go out in the midday sun. So she's right. It's hot out there, and but if you don't have water at the walking paths, also water for dogs, it's also a great help. But you know what do you tell Claire, David Clear?
Well, that's interesting. Is the built environment and then the potential for the built environment? You know, because microclimates can be created. You know, and I think humidity more than just the overall heat is the biggest challenge.
What about providing shade and those types of things?
Shade is huge, you know, because if it's not a humid day, you know, a shade goes makes it.
Why can't we cover the walking path around Woodlawn Lake with like a tent like thing?
There's potential.
You know, it's something to cover that trail. All right. Well, thank you so much. There's a lot to do. We got this conference coming up May 7th at the downtown UTSA. The public is invited. It is a $40 fee to attend, right, Dr. Schleicher?
That's right.
And we're talking about making San Antonio a healthier city by looking at our built environment. Thank you both for joining us, Dr. Schleicher, David Clear, the built environment coordinator. Coming up after the NPR news break, we're going to be talking about John Wayne and about his movie, The Alamo. Stay tuned. Mm-hmm.